Freak. Hey, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Feel Good Friday. The 167th episode of Feel Good Friday. And oh, yes, it is a special one. I'm going to stop talking like that because that's going to take a while. It's like a kind of slower, more, you know, villainous tone. It is a special. I haven't done a special in a while. When I started this podcast, I used to do a lot of specials. There was Halloween special, Christmas special, Super Bowl special, NBA finals, like all this shit. Indie special, which the next indie special's coming up. We're about 2 weeks away. Going to be crazy. Going to be a little bit more organized this time too. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. You never know. When the boys start drinking, you never know. But anyway, I used to do a lot of specials. I may have overdone it. I'm reeling it back on the specials because I want a special to be special. So this is a special though. This is a special. It's my halfway to Halloween special. That sounded cooler in my head. Like I thought that was going to sound a lot better. It sounded kind of dumb when I did it out loud. It was supposed to be, you know, that kind of ominous, spooky laugh. Not super spooky, like you're not going to be creeped out by it, but it's like something you would hear in the Haunted Mansion. Like, you know, it's supposed to be spooky, that kind of laugh. That's what I was going for. But I kind of, you know, right when I was doing it, I was like, I probably sound like Fat Joker. That's what I sound like. Like I would like rob an Arby's and just have 1,200 buffalo chicken sliders in my trunk. And then I would do that laugh. Anyway, halfway to Halloween special right now. Technically, halfway to Halloween would be 182 days. Because if you do the math, there's 365 days in a year. All right, you follow me? I know it's complex stuff. 365 days in a year, you divide that by two to get to the halfway point. That's another math thing. If you divide 365 by two, you get 182.5. Obviously, there's, you know, I mean, I guess you could, if you wanted to, you can get to where there's 183 days till Halloween and get 12 hours into that day and then technically call that 182.5. Or you could wait till 182 days left and just, you know, say that, just round down a little bit. So that would be the official halfway to Halloween point. We're actually under that. So we're closer to Halloween than that. I was a couple weeks off. I had some episodes I had to do. I had the Brian Durbin, I had the Peter Grant, you know, so I had priorities, but I'm done putting Halloween on the back burner, or at least halfway to Halloween, because now we are 166 days away from Halloween. 166. I should have recorded this yesterday, because then we would be 167 days away from Halloween, and this is the 67th episode, and there would have been a little connection there, but your boy is a bit of a dum-dum, so we're going to keep rolling. It's okay, 166 days left till Halloween, so I guess this is my belated halfway to Halloween special, my post-halfway to Halloween special, you can call it whatever. Whatever the case, it's my halfway to Halloween special, so just deal with it, even if it's, you know, less than halfway. And I'm getting pumped for Halloween. I'm already pumped. I got my ringtone set to some horror shit. My alarm is the Nightmare on Elm Street score. My text is the ch-ch-ch from Friday the 13th. My ringtone is the Exorcist theme, which I just love. I think it's that I associate with Halloween, even though The Exorcist isn't necessarily a Halloween horror movie. A lot of horror movies aren't. We're going to get into that. But I'm ready for it. I've been watching horror. I've been watching a lot of horror movies, so we're going to get into that too. I got a lot of reviews to give. A lot of reviews. I've seen some new ones that have come out. I've seen some ones that I never saw before, including a couple of classics. Classic horror movies that you will be shocked that it was my first time watching them, but I watched them for you to give you my review, but you might hear that I hadn't watched them to this point. You'll be like, you're a fraud, you're a phony, and then you'll come after me, but sometimes you let things slip, and I let these two slip, and I shouldn't have, because I fucking loved them. Again, we're going to get into that as well. So, We got a lot of stuff coming up on the post halfway to Halloween special. Another thing I've been doing that's been getting me in the spooky mood, if you will. Spooky mood. Spood. That kind of sounds like a racial slur, so we're not going to use that. TikTok. Now, I'm not making TikToks. I think I'm past that. I don't think I can anymore because I'm almost 30. And I feel like if you haven't made any by 30, you don't know what you're doing and you'll look like a fool. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem looking like a fool. I look like a fool most of the time, but it's just not worth it, you know, for the TikTok. And everyone says, like, you should do TikTok. You can get famous. I don't want to be the 30-year-old that got famous off TikTok. I just don't. I have, you know, despite the things I've done in my past and, you know, may do in my future, I have some pride. And I just don't want to be the 30-year-old that got famous off TikTok. I don't. I want to be the 30-year-old that got famous off a podcast, which is eons better than TikTok, obviously. Wow, saying that out loud really sound pretty stupid. But anyway, TikTok. I've been watching some TikToks because I keep hearing about it. It's like TikTok fucking this and that. And I know they it's kind of like an algorithm. Like the more you watch something, the more time you spend on it, and the more you like something, the more of that they will show you, the more content like that. So I've been liking and following a lot of Halloween pages. Christmas pages too. Christmas is a close second for me. I'm not going to lie. There are like at least a couple times during the Halloween season, like September and October and August too. And well, July, you know, sometimes you got to get ready early. Got to hit the Home Depot and get all the good deals. Obviously, Spirit Halloween. There are various times when I'm like, you know, I kind of want to listen to Christmas music and I'm, you know, jonesing for some Christmas nostalgia. But then it fades away quickly. Don't worry. I snap back into it. You know, I throw on a horror movie and I'm like, no, this is what I like. This is my number one. And it is my number one. Halloween is my number one. I think it'll always be my number one. So, but these pages I've been following are pretty cool. They definitely get you in the mood. They have these cool sound clips. There's like stuff from Halloween Town that they kind of remix and make it sound cool. The Monster Mash, Nightmare Before Christmas, all this cool stuff that already brings me back. But then the visual effects too are great. They have like what Halloween was like in the 90s or the early 2000s. And there's a really cool page called Witching Season Films. I believe that's what it's called, Witching Season Films. And they have all these like vintage Halloween decorations and they throw them up, whether at a park or just a random street or something like that. And then they have this really cool film style that they do when they're filming the decorations. And it's kind of like blowing in the wind a little bit. Maybe it's man-made, but maybe it's natural. It'd be cooler if it was natural. I'm a natty kind of guy. Natty ice, whatever. And then they add a cool soundtrack to it. A cool sound, I guess, is what they call it on the TikTok. I think like there's like the theme from The Fog. John Carpenter's The Fog is on one. I really like that one. And the caption will be like, your POV, you're walking home from school on Halloween in the early 2000s or the late 90s or the whatever. And I don't know, that kind of stuff just brings me back because I recognize a lot of those decorations. I was always big into Halloween decorations, more so than Christmas lights and all that shit. Halloween decorations I really liked. And so I recognize a lot of those. So it brings me back. I'm a big fan of nostalgia. I have a soft spot for the past. I have a soft spot in my ass, too. All right, maybe I don't. I don't know. I haven't tested it, and I don't plan on it. So let's skip past that. But figuratively, I have a soft spot for nostalgia and the past and all that. I don't know. I just like it. I like being brought back. And the thing is, I'm happy now. Like, I have this thing. I've recently started this new thing where I'm like, I'm done stressing. Like, life is too short to stress about shit. I think I've said life is short in every fucking podcast, and I apologize. But it is, so I'm just going to reinstill that. But it's too short to, like, be worried about shit constantly and to be stressed out. Now, you could have, like, that momentary? Yeah, that's a word. Momentary? I'm going to say it's a word. Moment. Momentary moment. Now I'm dumb. As if I wasn't before. But you could have that momentary collapse where it's like, oh shit, this is going wrong. It's a breakdown. But I'm not going to spend too much time on that either. Like, I'm done. My hair's turning gray, dude. Your boy's turning gray. My coworker said I had some gray in my beard. I didn't even see that before, and he pointed it out, and I was like, "You're a dick." But you know what? I'm all right with it. I've accepted that too. I'm not going to be stressed about the gray in my hair and the gray in my beard. Silver Fox, baby. You can call me George Clooney if he, got addicted to White Castle. But whatever. It's all good. You can call me that anyway. I'm cool with any form of George Clooney. White Castle and Bud Heavy. But anyway, I'm done. Done. Done stressing. I'm happy. But, like, I'm happy in the now because I realize I have it good. I have it better than a lot of other people. So that's part of it too. But as happy as I am now, I still like being brought back. I still like that nostalgia. Whenever I go over to my parents' house, like, it smells like my childhood. Unless if I take a shit over there, then it just smells like me. But so I like that feeling of nostalgia. I still do. And a lot of these pages bring me back because they have the nostalgic decorations, sounds, all that. Sometimes they just add like a autumn wind blowing leaves. And even that is like, it's calming and soothing. And I drive past the children's farm on, what is that street? Is that Southwest Highway? I think. Drive past that. And I'm like, oh man, that's a lot of my Halloween memories are there. So I do like being brought back. And these TikTok pages are bringing me back. It's really good. And I guess, TikTok is good for something after all. I'm not saying I'm an avid fan of TikTok. I still like Vine better. But it's like Key and Peele versus Chappelle's Show. Like, there are some Key and Peele sketches where I'm like, all right, I like it. But I will always be a Chappelle Show guy. So anyway, so I will try to get the names of those pages for you if you want to check those out, because they're all pretty great. They all make me happy. Even the Christmas ones. I don't even know if they have any other ones. Maybe they have Easter ones. I haven't looked into it. It's mainly been Halloween and Christmas for me. I think those are the big two. I think when it comes to holidays, those are the big two. You have the idiots that are like, no, 4th of July is St. Patrick's Day, so we can get drunk. You can get drunk any day of the year. You know what I mean? I mean, technically, if you're an adult, you could celebrate any holiday, any day of the year. There's no rules that say, like, you can't put up Halloween decorations in April. But getting drunk, like, I don't need St. Patrick's Day or 4th of July to get drunk. Are more people doing it than a normal Wednesday or something? Yeah, but anyway. And that's, I'm not bashing 4th of July and St. Patrick's. I do like those holidays. They are fun holidays. New Year's Eve, fun holiday. But, like, I think the true meaning of a holiday is like that it's a special kind of feeling. And I don't really get that with those. Those are fun. But special, it would go to me Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. And then Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Yeah, because that was a fun day off in grade school growing up. Anyway, I've been blabbering too much. I'm excited. It's halfway to Halloween. Well, it's less than halfway now. So that makes me even more excited. My nipples raging hard. And the thing is, right now, it's sunny. I got the windows open. I think it's supposed to be close to 80 today. It is far from a fall day. But I'm gonna throw in a horror movie when Finn takes his nap, of course. Don't worry. I know he's almost two, so he's absorbing more and more. So I'm done putting on horror movies in front of him. But when he takes a nap, I'm gonna throw in a horror movie and I'm gonna be like, all right, halfway to Halloween, baby, let's do this. So strap in. It's gonna be a spooky ride. No guest on today, just me going nuts, giving you everything I got. Anything horror related, anything Halloween related. I'm giving you my all today. My all. You can tell because it's been a 14-minute intro. And probably half of it I could cut, but I'm not going to because you deserve everything. You deserve the raw cut. You deserve it raw. Is that, yeah. All right. Well, let's play the intro because that's probably a weird way to end it, right? But I'm going to do it. All right, everybody, and we're back. Episode 67 of Feel Good Friday. I guess you could call it Feel Spooky Friday today because it is the halfway to Halloween special. post halfway to Halloween. You know what? No, fuck that. It's the halfway to Halloween special. I'm not calling it the post halfway. I'm not calling it the belated halfway to Halloween special. It's the halfway to Halloween special. Could it have been more accurate if I recorded it like a week or two ago? Yeah, but I didn't. 166 days left till Halloween. Close e fucking enough. So we're just rolling with that. Real quick before I move on to some horror movie Halloween stuff, I did want to apologize. I didn't mean to be like, oh, if your favorite holiday is St. Patrick's Day or 4th of July, you're dumb. Like, I love those holidays. I love those holidays. The party holidays. 4th of July. Like I said, St. Patrick's Day, New Year's Eve, Memorial Day and Labor Day are huge as well. The start and the end of summer. Two huge milestones every year. Grilling, chilling, the weather's great usually. Just having a good time. Like, I love the party holidays. I do, because I love to party. But to me, like, a true holiday is, it just, there's a special feeling of it. You could have that feel like, you know, yeah, I celebrated 4th of July growing up and all that stuff. But the feeling of nostalgia really hits me with Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, even Martin Luther King Day, or MLK, if you wanted to save some breath and abbreviate it. But MLK, it's really close to milk. And I think if you spell out MLK, then people might see, they may be like, oh, milk. And they might think it's for Harvey Milk, who is also a great figure. Fuck. Can't think of the word. A great person from the past. He stood up for, he was a civil rights activist as well. Got into politics and he stood up for the gay community. And great dude. But he's not Martin Luther King, so I don't want there to be any confusion. So I'm just going to say Martin Luther King instead of MLK because it's too close to milk. Also, like, people could just see MLK and be like, milk, this is milk day. Do we just drink milk? What kind of milk? Do we just do the straight up milk? Do we chocolate milk, strawberry, caramel? Or is that just a me? That's probably just a me thing. I don't do it all the time, don't worry. But one night I went out and when I was living at home, my parents' home, I had this routine. I would go out, get nice and buckled, get a good buzz on, and then come home and I would do English muffin, butter the fuck out of it, and then I'd have a glass of chocolate milk and I'd throw on Sports Center, and that'd be how I ended my night, my going out nights. It was a nice routine I had. Sometimes it was Impractical Jokers instead of Sports Center if it was on, but Sports Center was always on, you know, in the middle of the night, so that was usually the go-to. But one night, I got particularly smashed, you could say, and got home, thought I grabbed the chocolate sauce, but it was actually caramel. And I didn't realize that until I took my first sip. And I was like, that's not chocolate. It was the same label. It was both Hershey's. So we had chocolate Hershey's. We had chocolate caramel Hershey's as well. And I grabbed the caramel and I made caramel milk. And, like I said, didn't realize it till I took the first sip. And, you know what? I'm committed to things that I start. And so I finished it. I finished the glass of caramel milk, and that's probably where my diabetes started. But anyway, I don't care about that. Just wanted to clear that up. If those are some of your favorite holidays, the party ones, great. I'm happy for, like, those are really fun holidays. Halloween and Christmas are too, but like the party holidays are super fun. So if those are your favorite, fucking awesome, dude. I love that for you. I didn't mean to bash it. That's all I'm saying. I love those too. I really love those holidays too. I love a good time. So Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, they just have a more nostalgic feeling for me. And obviously I like that. So anyway, I wanted to move on because I watched a lot of horror movies recently, horror movies, shows, all that stuff. And I kind of wanted to review some of them. But before I do that, I wanted to clarify or distinguish, I guess, is there a difference between a horror movie and a Halloween movie? And I'm here to tell you, kind of. It's like the poo and the pee argument. Like, not every pee-pee time is a poo-poo time. But every poo-poo time is a pee-pee time. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't get how it works. It's science. But if you're taking a shit, you're going to piss. But if you're taking a piss, you're probably, you shouldn't shit. Otherwise, you're going to have a mess to clean up. It's weird how it works, but that's just how it works. And that's kind of the same. So not every horror movie is a Halloween movie, but every Halloween movie is a horror movie. At least kind of, because there are a lot of family-friendly Halloween movies. You got the Halloween Town, Nightmare Before Christmas, Monster House, Under Wraps, yada, 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 all that stuff. Those are Halloween movies, and they're supposed to be for kids, but there's like hints of spooky to them, you know? Hints of horror, little splashes, elements, if you will. So they're supposed to be spooky, just spooky for kids. So in that aspect, it is kind of, those are kind of horror movies if you think about it. They're just, you know, you're not going to compare Toy Story of Terror to The Human Centipede. Those are way different types of horror. Family-friendly horror versus sadistic, very disturbing horror, you know? So that's the thing about horror, is there's so many types. But if a movie is a Halloween movie, like, it's most likely going to... There's movies that Halloween takes place, you know, maybe they gloss over it really quickly, or it takes place around Halloween and they don't really mention it, but they're not considered Halloween movies. Like the new Batman with Robert Pattinson, you know, opening scene, it's Halloween night, I think. And it's raining in Gotham, and it's a really cool opening, but you know, that's not a Halloween movie, even though Batman is probably one of the most popular Halloween costumes of all time, if not the most popular Halloween costume of all time. But it's definitely not a Halloween. It's action drama, you know? At least this one was. Michael Keaton is back as Batman, by the way, in the new Flash movie, which I probably won't see. But anyway, so that's basically what it is. You can be horror and not a Halloween movie, but you cannot be Halloween and be a horror movie. And if you have examples that go against that, send them my way. I would love to be proved wrong. That's a lie. I wouldn't love to be proved wrong, but proved wrong, proven wrong. I'm an idiot, so it's probably not that hard to prove me wrong, but in my opinion, that's kind of the rule. So that goes right up there with the shitting and the pissing. You know, it is what it is. I can't explain it. It's just science. If you ask me to explain it, I will tell you it is what it is, baby. That's show business. So yeah, there's that. I know you cared a lot about that distinction, so I'm really glad I could clarify that for you. And I hope I made your life a lot easier. I hope you're able to sleep better at night. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyway, on to the movies. I got a long list of movies we're going to be talking about for a while, but I'm going to kick things off with Freddy versus Jason. My personal, I think it might be overtaking Jeepers Creepers as my favorite horror movie. And Freddy versus Jason, it's almost hard to describe it as a horror movie because it's not scary. Like, it's a crazy concept. You have two iconic horror icons. No, that sounded dumb. Iconic horror icons? Joe, what the fuck is wrong with you? Let's try that again. You got two iconic horror characters, slashers, villains, monsters, whatever you want to call them, and two storied franchises, and then they meet up. And they have one of the greatest, you know, back and forth battles of all time. It's a really fun movie. It's better than Alien vs. Predator. It's way better than Roe v. Wade, if you want my opinion like that. That one sucked, but Freddy vs. Jason, great. Great stuff. And there was a hint of it, too. I should explain why I'm talking about Freddy vs. Jason. It's not just because it may have surpassed Jeepers Creepers as my favorite horror movie. It's because it's the 20th year anniversary of Freddy vs. Jason. It came out August 13th, 2003. And this will be August 13th, 2023 in a few months. 20 years of Freddy vs. Jason. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm happy it's here. I've probably watched it at least twice a year since it's come out. At least twice a year. It's one of my favorites. It's one of my comfort movies. I put it on. It brings me back to like seeing it in 2003 when I was like 10. It came out August 13th. I think my dad and I saw it in the Dollar Theater. So the Dollar Theater played movies that have been out for a while, and then, you know, tickets were way cheaper. So I was probably 10 when I first saw it, and I loved it then, loved it now. I was rooting for Freddy, last name Krueger, obviously. You know, how are you not going to root for Freddy if your last name is Krueger? If my last name was Voorhees, I would have rooted for Jason. If my last name was Myers, I would have been indifferent. But anyway, 20-year anniversary of Freddy vs. Jason. And let me tell you, it's still great. I watched it the other day. It's still great. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's like a good movie by any means. Like, it's not like this is a cinematic masterpiece. No. But it's so much fun. It's an amazing... I love the concept. And I would love to see a sequel. Freddy vs. Jason 2. Bring it on. Let me see it. And they were talking about... there was rumors circling. It was going to be Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash. As in Ash from Evil Dead. I wouldn't mind that. But honestly, I think I would just love Freddy vs. Jason 2. Have the two Goliaths face off again. Especially if you're going to do it with Robert Englund and Kane Hodder again, because they're getting up there. You don't know how long they have left. That's, you know, dark to say, but it's true. Like, it's the reason I want Edge and Christian to make one more run at the tag team titles. Now, Christian's in AEW, Edge's in WWE. It's going to be hard to work that out, but I would love to see that before it's too late, because you never know. And they were around during the Attitude Era, so you really don't know. Too many chair shots to the head, garbage cans, ladders, all that. Like, there might be some damage up there. Edge has retired like twice because of his neck problems. So don't know how much time they have left. Hope they can work that out. I would love to see it. That'd be really fun. But anyway, back to Freddy vs. Jason. That's what I'm here for. Sorry. I would love to see just another Freddy vs. Jason. Not Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ghostface or Freddy vs. Jason vs. Michael Myers. Freddy vs. Jason vs. Chucky. Like, no, no. Just Freddy vs. Jason 2. Have a meet up again, because the ending of Freddy vs. Jason 1... one of my favorite movies of all time. Not just horror movies, favorite movies. Hot Tub Time Machine, everybody wants them. I think that's still one and two. It's like MJ and LeBron. But Freddy vs. Jason is Kareem, for sure. Or Larry Bird, or Magic, or whatever. Tim Duncan, even. It's up there. It's up there. I really just love it. It makes me feel happy when I watch it. And like, people might see it for the first time and be like, this is the movie that makes you happy? You're fucking sick. And it's like, yeah, well, it's a nostalgic thing. Again, take a shot every time I say nostalgia, by the way, in this podcast. You'll be fucking fucked up. But it's a nostalgia thing, you know? It brings me back. And I love the characters. Freddy and Jason are two, like I said, of the most iconic horror villains of all time. And as a horror movie aficionado, yeah, dropping that word, I have nothing but appreciation for them and all their work. All their work. Work is in quotes, you know, because they kill people. Anyway. Yeah, no, it ends, the first one, with Jason walking out of the water. And you see him holding Freddy's head. And you're like, ah, fuck. Jason won. It's over. That's the, you know, that's it. And then Freddy looks at the camera. Boom. His little, like, head. Just his head. Eyes shift towards the camera, and then he winks and smiles, and then you hear his music playing, because it starts off, you know, Jason walks out, and there's some intense music playing, but then you hear the, like, ch-ch in the background, which is his thing, and you think he won, and then, yeah, Freddy does the wink, and boom, it's like, oh, shit, neither of them won, we need a sequel, it's been 20 years, let's do it, let's bring it back, and maybe we can get some better actors. There were some bad actors in this one. Blake is definitely the guy who plays Blake. I'm not sure. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm not trying to rip up, you know, acting is his passion. He went for it. That was a big movie. He was in the big movie. But man, his dad was even worse. What the hell were you doing over there? Were you drinking? You were supposed to be watching your sister, whatever. So there's some bad performances in it. There's some really bad lines. Even Robert Englund was given bad lines. Like, when he tries to kill Blake, he fails because he's, quote, not strong enough yet. He literally says that. He tries to kill Blake. Blake runs away. And again, bad delivery by Blake. He's like, I'm okay. I'm all right. And he runs away. And then camera pans to Freddy, who's looking at the camera. So they're kind of breaking the fourth wall. And Freddy goes, not strong enough yet. Well, I will be. Until then, I'll just let Jason have a little fun. And it's, I don't know. I just feel like there could have been a better line right there. I think Robert Englund delivered it as best he could. But there's some stuff that it's just not going to come out the way you want it to. And I think that was one of them. They could have done a lot better. There's a lot of, again, quotes, dramatic moments that, like, it's not, it comes off kind of silly. because it's, you know. But then there are times when you know this movie isn't taking itself too seriously because, you know, there's the scene where Jason is dreaming and Freddy's just kicking the shit out of him in his nightmare, in the boiler room, literally making pinball sounds, and then Jason falls and Freddy goes tilt, and which is a pinball reference if you don't get that, kids these days, you know. There's the scene when Freddy takes over the stoner's body, Freeburg. He's like a little worm who's like smoking a bong. So like they had some of the silliness that the later Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th films had, because as those franchises went on, it got more and more ridiculous. Kind of like the Fast and the Furious franchises. You know, it's kind of like it gets to a point where it's like, all right, let's just see what we can get away with. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can pull out of our asses. Sometimes literally, you know, those movies are like that. Not the Fast and the Furious ones. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen the last two, so. So there are hints of it like not taking itself too seriously, but then there are like these dramatic moments. And there was a couple creepy moments. There's the moment where the Freeburg is dreaming in the hospital. He gets super high and passes out at a hospital while there's two killers after them and they're trying to find hypnos, and he just like, you know, splits off from the group and decides to get really stoned, and then he passes out, and then Freddy Krueger kills him. But in his nightmare, all the patients in the hospital like sit up and they all have their eyes covered and they're pointing towards something. It's a creepy visual for sure. And then in that scene when Jason is having his nightmare and Freddy's, like I said, just really fucking him up real good. Ugh. Freddy finds out that Jason is scared of water because that's how he died when he was a little deformed kid. And so he uses that to his advantage. Boom. Makes it rain in the boiler room, not with singles. You know, he's not trying to get Jason to take off his G-string. He makes it literally rain in the boiler room, and then Jason crumbles. He drops his machete, he starts shaking, and then he's back to being that little kid in his little bathing suit, and he's crying, he's in the fetal position. And that's kind of sad to see. I'm like, oh, Jason. And then Freddy kneels down and he goes, "There's a face only a mother could love." And he holds up the severed head of Jason's mom. That's a creepy visual as well. That one kind of stuck with me when I was younger. I'm okay with it now. But then there's the next one. He goes, "Let's dig a little deeper." And he sticks one of his knives into little Jason boy's head. And they show it going in. And when I was younger, I was like, oh my God, I was fucking scarred. And honestly, to this day, it still is kind of like cringy to watch. But the sound it makes kind of offsets that, off puts that, offset, whatever, offset. Me goes, RIP, take off. But it kind of sounds like it's digging into a watermelon instead of a human head, which I don't know. I've never put a knife into a human head. Let the record show. I've never put a knife into a human head. So I don't know what it sounds like. Maybe it does sound like a watermelon because that's what it sounded like in this scene. So I'm kind of like, eh, yeah. Kelly Rowland, great, great in it. Because of her, Freddy Krueger delivers one of my favorite lines. She decides to kind of sacrifice herself for Laurie and Will. And Freddy's deciding between the two who he wants to kill, and he decides on Kia because he says, "How sweet, dark meat." And which, by the way, I don't know if you could say that today. Like, if this movie was made today instead of 20 years ago, I think people would be like, racist, and then there would be an uproar. Like the movie would get canceled because of that. Like it's crazy. It's kind of crazy, but it is what it is. It's the society. It's the society. And then I would have to remind them, like, hey, it's Freddy Krueger. Like this isn't a politician. Like this is Freddy Krueger. He's a fictional character who was burnt alive and now haunts people in their dreams. Like I think we're good. I think he could say that kind of stuff and get away with it. Anyway. Yeah, no, I just want to send my flowers to Freddy vs. Jason. I love it. It has a lot of my favorite kills. The boyfriend in the beginning, the douchey boyfriend, is one of my favorites. You might be able to hear Hadley in the background, by the way. She's going nuts, and I don't know why. But he gets killed. The girlfriend, the girl from Ginger Snaps, the redhead girl with the big titties, she's in the shower. And the boyfriend's just in bed and he goes to get his beer, and Jason appears in the room. Wow, they're being really loud. Jason appears in the room and stabs him like a bunch of times with the machete, like going through the bed. Like the machete is going through him and then through the entire mattress. It's a strong machete, and Jason's a strong dude, whatever he is, dude, zombie, I don't know. But stabbing the fuck out of him. And then after that, Jason, boom, plants his machete in the floor and then folds the bed while the guy is on it. So kind of folds him in half, like backwards. He's on his stomach, and it's a wild scene. And I remember I was like, that's fucking awesome. I love that. So there's a whole bunch of stuff in it that I love. Again, it's not, is it a scary movie? Not quite. Is it a good movie? Not quite. But do I love it? You bet your fucking dick I do. I love that movie. So, flowers to Freddy vs. Jason. Happy 20th anniversary. I love you. I'm probably going to watch you tonight because I just put myself in the mood. Oh, yeah, put myself in the mood. I might light a candle. Just kidding. Well, I do like lighting candles. They smell nice, so maybe I'll light one anyway. But it's not like a sexual thing. Like, I'm not like whacking it to Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees. Anyway, I made this weird, so I'm going to stop, and we're going to take a break. Get ready for the ominous music. You may have noticed there was a different intro. It's because it's the spooky. It's the spooky episode. It's the halfway to Halloween special. So I switched it up a bit, give you those chills, those thrills that shiver up your spine. Ooh. Is it shiver up your spine or down your spine? I don't care. All right. Do I talk a lot? I do. So I'm going to stop. Thank you all. Be back in just a minute with some more horror movie reviews because I got a whole bunch. Get ready for it. All right, everybody, and we're back. Episode 67 of Feel Good Friday. Feel Spooky Friday. My bad. Feel spooky this Friday because it is the halfway to Halloween special. Gonna make this episode nice and long, which is, that's two adjectives that I normally don't associate with myself, but I will for this episode because, you know, if you're like me and you celebrate the spooky season year round, there's no days off, then this is for you. This is for you. So I'm going to get into some more movies and some shows that I've watched, and I'm going to start. Well, actually, you know what? Let's go like the way I liked it, I guess. Yeah, we'll go the way I liked it. So we're going to start Knock at the Cabin, that movie with Batista and Ron Weasley, a.k.a. Rupert Grint, and then some other people that I don't know. It's an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie. M. Night Shyamalan, for people who actually know his name. It's all right. It was a little unsettling at times. Batista's great in it. I didn't know if that was going to be the role for him, but he killed it. No pun intended. He did great. Rupert Grint wasn't in it as long as I wanted to. He actually played like a redneck, which was a little different. But hey, that's why they call it acting. You know, you do things that you don't normally do. So you got Ron Weasley playing a country boy. A little change of pace. It's nice. But Knock at the Cabin was all right. I definitely wasn't mad at it. Like, I wasn't upset that I didn't reach the end. And I was like, fuck, why did I spend my time on that? No, it was decent. It was decent. I don't know if I would watch it again. It's one of those ones that I don't think I would put on. But if it was on, like, I wouldn't turn it off right away. It's one of those ones, I'll describe it as this. I'm not going to put it on, but if it is on, I'll put it on. But then I'll check out the options. I'll see what else is on. You know, if there's, you know, even though I don't have cable anymore. So that's not how it works. But still, you see what I'm getting at. Like, yeah, I'm going to put it on, but also, like, hey, maybe there's a game on that I'd rather watch instead. Like, Sox against the Royals. The best game of the year. That's sarcasm. But decent movie overall. Again, not mad at it. It did its thing. It was fine. There were some unsettling parts. It was kind of, for an M. Night Shyamalan movie, there was a little bit of unpredictability, but there was definitely no big twist or anything like that. Like, it wasn't one of those Sixth Sense signs types of endings. Like, the ending was a little lackluster for my taste, at least from what I've come to expect from M. Night Shyamalama. But I guess it was based on a novel. It was based on the novel Cabin at the End of the World, I believe it's what it's called. So I guess you kind of got to stick to the novel. But I mean, there's some movies that are based off novels that don't really stick too hard to the novel, including endings and stuff. So maybe Shyamalan was just trying to be respectful. So I'm not sure. I haven't read that novel. I'm not much of a reader. I've been working on my Jimmy Buffett book for about 4 months, and I'm not even halfway through. Words, it's just hard. Words are just hard. It's not the only thing that's hard. That was a dick joke, but I'm not hard right now. I'm very soft. It's a little chilly. So Knock at the Cabin. All right. Not mad at it. We'll go with that. Next up, we got season 2 of Chucky. Now, season 1, I ended up loving. I think it's because it surprised me. It's kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, I didn't go in there with much. I didn't really know who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. So I was like, all right, whatever, I'll see it. It's another Marvel movie. And then it's my favorite Marvel, like my favorite Marvel trilogy of all time. And I haven't even seen the third one yet. But Chucky season 2, I kind of went in there thinking like, this is going to be just as awesome as season 1. And it was at times. Like, there were definitely moments where I'm like, fuck yeah, he's back. The first lady he kills. So basically, it takes off right where season 1 ended. Like, it shows what happens after season 1 ends. And Andy's driving away in the truck filled with all the Chuckies. And then all the Chuckies come to life. And then they fall off a cliff. And most of the Chuckies die. But apparently not all of them. Because then they end up, cut to, it's Jake and his boyfriend and, oh my God, the blonde girl. I forgot all her names already. I'm not good. I'm forgetting stuff left and right. It's an issue. But they all end up getting sent to this, it's like a juvenile school, but also a church. It's weird. It's a weird thing. Because Chucky finds them in the neighborhood, goes in to kill them, but accidentally, like, their bomb sets off and it just kills Jake's stepbrother or foster brother. And so they're all like, all right, you guys got to go to this church camp and find Jesus and get better. Essentially, that's what it was. So they go there. Devon Sawa is back as the priest that runs the place. So I like seeing Devon Sawa again. I like that they brought him back. They touched on it a little bit because Jake was like, I feel like I've seen you before. Yeah, so because he played his dad in the first one, and then he played his uncle in the first one. So Devon Sawa, 3 roles in 2 seasons, and it's not like nothing roles. They're prominent roles, so gets killed 3 times. I hope that's a running bit. I hope he comes back for season 3 and then gets killed again some awful way. We'll see. But I do like Devon Sawa, so it was good to see him. Like I said, the first kill is, besides the little kid that Chucky blows up, that's a little dark, it's a little morbid, so we're going to skip over that, is a nun at the church place, and he doesn't even, like, no stabbing, no strength, like, nothing like that. He just jumps up and scares the shit out of her and literally just gives her a heart attack, and that's how she dies. But they even touch on that. Chucky's like, are you kidding me? And then, I don't know. So I like that. I don't know. Brad Dourif is still doing the voice of Chucky. So I'm glad that, like, he's still around to do that. They're definitely taking advantage of that when they can. And not taking advantage in a bad way. Just knowing, like, Brad Dourif is getting up there. So who knows how long he can do this. And also, the older you get, your voice kind of changes. You know, soon enough, I'm not going to sound like this. I'm not going to have this sexy, sultry voice. Soon enough, I'm going to sound like this. Oh, what's for breakfast? Pills and orange juice. So they're taking advantage of Brad Dourif being able to do the voice well while he can. Jennifer Tilly is in it as well. She comes back. She's great. Really, really funny. Super, like, she's great at being crazy. And still hot, by the way. She's like 60, I think. And she's still killing it. Absolutely slaying. It's my horror crush. One of them, at least. And, Yeah, so I like seeing her again. Like I said, some of the kills are great. Some of the kills are all right. It gets a little confusing at times, which is, I feel like slashers should not try to get too complex. And maybe to a mind that isn't a mind like mine, aka, smart people. It wasn't complex, but to me, there were times where I was having some trouble following it because it's like Jennifer Tilly's got her storyline going on, and apparently Chucky is in the lady that she's kidnapped. But then there's other Chuckies at the church place that are trying to kill Jake and everyone. And then they convert one of the Chuckies and he's good, but is he really good because he's still Chucky? Is he faking it? So you're wondering that. And then like super jacked Chucky comes in and he's got abs. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So there's a lot of stuff going on. So they made it, I think, a little bit more complex than it had to be. At least a little more complex than, for my liking, because again, I like to keep things simple. I'm a simple kind of man. Shout out to Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm a simple man, but still great. Like, still fun to watch. Love the intro music. Love Brad Dourif as Chucky, and then yeah, Jennifer Tilly and Devon Sawa, and it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. I enjoyed it for sure. Moving on. So that was Chucky season two. Not as good as season one. Still fine. Still fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm hoping it comes back for season three and they either redeem themselves and they're back to like that season one awesomeness, or maybe they stay, as awesome as they were in season two, where it's like, I'm gonna watch it, like it's enjoyable. It doesn't get me as pumped as, the original season did, but we'll see. So Chucky season two, thumbs up for sure. All right, next up, we are gonna go with let's see. Scream, no. Let's go Terrifier 2. There we go. Terrifier 2. Yes, I finally saw it. I finally saw it. I know I've been talking about it for a long time on here. And, I've been waiting for a way to see it, whether it's DVD release or streaming or whatever. I ended up renting it on Apple TV. It's like $4. Rented it. It's a long movie. It's like 2.5 hours, which is crazy for a slasher, especially a slasher that's kind of campy. Now, the thing is, Terrifier 2 was almost perfect to me. Almost perfect. It's a Halloween horror movie. I love that setting. It's extremely over-the-top gore. I'm talking, it may have been what I was eating because I was eating Cadbury cream eggs while I was watching this. Maybe it was a bad choice. But there were points watching the movie where I felt nauseous. There were a couple scenes where I was like, are those Cadbury cream eggs? Are they coming up? 'Cause fuck, this is wild. Very, very gory. Over the top gore. Tarantino-esque, except it's almost like it's not funny. Like it's dark. The bedroom scene in particular is very dark because as Art is mutilating. Hope that's the right word. As Art is fucking up his victim. They keep showing like pictures of her and her family all over the room and like her little decorations and stuff that I'm assuming may have been childhood things. And she just keeps them in there because, she's had them her whole life. And they keep showing that. And then like blood is splattering on them. It's a very, very gory scene. And they do things that I haven't seen before, which is nice. It's nice to see new gore in horror movies, new types of kills and. It wasn't exactly a new type of kill. Again, it was a stabbing. It was a mutilation, but it was still, there were shots and things that I done that I had not seen before. So that was definitely, I get the notoriety behind that scene. Like I get why people are upset at that scene. There were people that apparently left the theater during that scene. There were people that were passing out. There were people that were vomiting. Again, I felt a little nauseous. I didn't vomit. I obviously did not vomit. That would be intense. That I don't know what a movie would have to do to get me to vomit, but Terrifier 2 came close. Now, the girl in it, I forgot her name, but she's great. She's great in it. She's a good final girl, a scream queen, if you will. She's great. The thing is, this movie goes on for too long. 2.5 hours for a campy slasher. It's a bit much. It's a bit much. And I thought it was going to be a bit much going into it. I'm like, yeah, that's probably too long of a runtime. Turned out I was right. The end of it gets real weird. It gets real weird towards the end. Like some supernatural stuff starts happening, and not like paranormal activity, conjuring supernatural, like magical supernatural. Like she gets these powers all of a sudden, and it keeps going back from like, what's a dream? Is she dead? Is she alive? Like, there's too much going on. Again, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm too simple-minded of a man that I couldn't keep up with it. But I feel like the first three, like, I'm gonna say there's four acts in this movie, which goes against everything that, because it's three acts usually. I'm gonna say there's four. The first four acts are great. It's just Art the Clown killing people. There's one dream sequence, but you know it's a dream sequence. Art the Clown just killing people, going around brutally. It's intense. And then that final act, it gets real weird. I don't want to spoil anything too much, but it's you judge it for yourself. You see if I'm being too critical of it. I don't think I am. I think maybe they should have toned it down a little bit and just stuck to, this is a slasher movie. Let's keep it at that. Let's not make it too crazy. Let's not go overboard with what could be happening. 'Cause yeah, there's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to, whatever. So overall though, if the first three acts are good and then the last one is bad, that's 75%. That's a passing grade. And I'm gonna give it more than that. It's like 80% for me. Like it's a great, great slasher flick. And arguably, it's important for the genre because we haven't had a new slasher icon for a while. And the last, segment I was talking about Freddy and Jason, but as far as recent slasher icons, it's like you have all the remakes. Like you have like the It remake, so there's Pennywise again, but that was from way back in the day. Like that's a remake. It's a novel, I guess there's Victor Crowley from Hatchet, but that franchise kind of fell off. That had its moment, that had the heat that it caught. And then now I don't know what's going on with that. So Victor Crowley would be a fun one, but that seems to be no more. So Art the Clown may be the next big slasher. I guess Megan could be thrown in there, which by the way, I meant to say that rhymed. By the way, I meant to say, if they do another Versus movie and it's not Freddy versus Jason 2, it should be Chucky versus Megan. That, like, I think people want to see that. Chucky versus Annabelle. I think Annabelle is too dark. Like those Conjuring universe movies, they're too dark. Chucky versus Megan would be a lot of fun, in my opinion. In my opinion, and I have Chucky winning because he's Chucky. So, anyway, back to Terrifier. I think outside of Megan and maybe that the guy with the baby mask from Happy Death Day, like there's not a lot of new horror villains that you can recognize, and I think Art is becoming one of those. Yes, it's another clown. Clowns have been done before, but he puts his own spin on it. He's super creepy. Super creepy. And the guy who plays him does a great job. He's really good. So I think Art the Clown could be the next great slasher icon. And I'm happy that I'm witnessing the birth of something like that. It's pretty special as a horror movie fan. It's pretty special. So Terrifier 2, thumbs up, but drawn out a little too long, and the ending was we're gonna go with could have been better. They could have done it differently. We'll just say that. But again, fun movie, campy, over the top. That gore is something else, man. Some of those scenes, dude. Whew. Anyway, moving on to our next one, we got Scream 6. Yes, I saw that one too. I saw it came out on Paramount Plus, so obviously I watched it. Scream 6, I liked it a lot. I liked it better than 5. I liked it better than 4. I liked it better than 3. I think maybe it goes, for me, it goes 1, 2, 6. Honestly, if I'm ranking like the Scream movies, that would be the third one in my rankings. It's real good. They did a great job with Ghostface. It's not super predictable. I unfortunately saw a spoiler before I saw the movie, so I knew what was going to happen. However, if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to like nail it on the head. There's definitely a couple things that I'm like, oh shit, okay, so yeah, that kind of reaction, the oh shit. They do a great job with Ghostface, though. They make him look badass. Like the movements and the kills, like there's the shotgun scene in the convenience store. Like there's a lot of things they do with Ghostface that he just looks badass and he actually looks scary. There have been times where I haven't like been always fearful of Ghostface. It's almost been a little comical, like in the later like Scream 3 or something like that. But this one, he's intimidating for sure. He or she, whatever. Sorry, it's 2023. Also, you know, that may have been a little hint towards the end of the movie. But he or she, intimidating. The way they move and the body language and all that. No Nev Campbell, which I think is good. I don't think you want to overdo it with her. Maybe she could be in the next one, but it's okay if she's not. Skeet Ulrich was in it, as the girl. I think her name's Jenna. That's Jenna Ortega. I don't know. Again, fuck, I'm forgetting all the... I've been watching so many horror movies trying to get this episode ready for you guys that I'm forgetting all the names, and I'm ruining it. I'm self-sabotaging. God, I hate myself, but all right, I'll keep going on. Here, let's put a smile on my face. So she plays the dad of the main girl that's not Jenna Ortega, and he's in it a couple times, and then Courtney Cox is in it as well. Obviously, Dewey was killed off in the last one, so no David Arquette. It's okay, though. Like, you don't want to rely on the original cast that much. Like, you want to be able to move on to a new set of characters that you care about and that you're invested in. And to be honest, there are some in this movie that I was rooting for. There are some that I was rooting against, and I was like, what? You didn't die? Like, what the fuck? Why couldn't it just been like, it was kill you off, dude? I'm over you. There's a couple of those, but great. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching it. Again, it's a whodunit slasher flick, and no franchise does that better than Scream, in my opinion. So this film was no exception to that. Again, when I was ranking them, it was 1, 2, 6, but 3, 4, and 5, I don't think they're necessarily bad. Like, yeah, they're slasher horror movies, so they're not going to be great movies, but they're still fun. Like, that's the main word I would use to describe the Scream franchise is fun. Those are fun movies. So Scream 6, 2 thumbs way up. Definitely enjoyed it. It's my third best in the franchise. And I hope you enjoy it too. If you got Paramount Plus, go watch it. It's good stuff. Last but not least on this list is a little movie I like to call, I like to call it because that's what it's called. It's the title of the movie, Evil Dead Rise. The new Evil Dead movie, I was blown away. That's probably my favorite horror movie I've seen in a few, like probably since The Conjuring. Yeah, it's that, to me, it was that good. It was that good. It's gory for sure. I actually expected more based off the trailers, but what I got, I was not disappointed with. I loved what I got. Lots of fun there too. It's, some quick one-liners that make you laugh from the deadites. The lady who plays the mom who gets possessed first is so good. So good. As a deadite, she plays it perfectly. And this movie really has there's no rules, I guess. Like, anyone can die. So the whole time you're kind of edge of your seat. You're like, oh shit, are they going to make it, you know, to the characters that are still alive? And it's one of those for sure. So it's good in that aspect too. Like I said, the writing is great. Mommy's with the maggots now is one of my favorite lines. And then there's a hallway, like they're all in the hallway and the mom is upside down. And like the other deadites are like feeding on her and she's laughing. And then she looks and she's like, we're all dead by, we'll all be dead by dawn, Beth, or something like that. And that's another great line. Like that one I heard, and the way she delivered it and the way the other people reacted when she heard it, not the other people in the theater, like the people that are alive in the movie reacted when she said it, the music, the laughing with it. Like, it was a perfect line in my opinion. And I loved that. Bruce Campbell is in it. Apparently he does a voice. He does some voice acting. There's a scene when the Deadite bites a man's eyeball out of its socket. And apparently the sound effect they used was Bruce Campbell biting into an apple for that sound effect. So Bruce Campbell is in it. And then he does a voice on one of the recordings of the 2023 Necronomicon. So that's kind of cool. That's a new twist to it too, is it's not just a book. There's a set of vinyl records that are recording like meetings going on with like the priests and about the book and about people that have been possessed by the book and all this stuff. And it's really cool. It's a nice twist. It was great. It was really great. And it brought, like, it, I had this feeling of like, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm just a kid again, watching a movie that I love and getting lost in it. I got lost in it. There were times when I forgot about the outside world. That's why I like going to the theater, because there's no distractions. Like, you can close the blinds and turn off the lights in your house, but it's not the same, you know? Going to a theater, you're in this, like, you know, the screen is the room. Everything else is dark. It's I had my popcorn and my drink. It was really like old times. So absolutely loved Evil Dead Rise. Absolutely loved it. Definitely some cringy scenes in there too. Cringy as in like the way the violence of it is like, oh my God, fucking gross. The cheese grater scene and like broken glass. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's pretty great. It's pretty great. So definitely, definitely, definitely recommend Evil Dead Rise. Yeah, that's about it. There's other stuff I'm going to talk about after this break. I am going to take a break really quick because Finn is waking up, and I don't want to be talking about Evil Dead Rise and, you know, tons and tons of gore when Finn is awake. You don't want to. He's starting to get more sponge-like by the day. He's observing stuff more and more. Absorbing stuff more and more. Maybe sponges observe. I don't know. But they definitely absorb. So he's definitely becoming more sponge-like by the day. So I don't want to be talking about, you know, ripping off scalps and cheese grating legs and all that. You know, I don't want him to hear that. So that is it for my rapid-fire horror movie reviews. Like I said, I got a couple more coming up. I have a couple classics that I saw for the first time that you may be a little surprised that I haven't seen until this point. And then I got some that aren't necessarily classics that I watched that I'm going to talk about as well. And then we'll wrap this thing up burrito style. We'll wrap this thing up mummy style, because this is a halfway to Halloween special. So thank you all. If you're still listening, I plead you to plead you. I am begging. No, begging is a strong word. Keep listening, because the episode isn't over yet and we got some more horror to talk about. Let's get spooky with it. Let's continue being spooky with, because it's been a long time already. So it's like we've already gotten spooky. Let's continue to be spooky with it. And again, I just can never sound cool. What is wrong with me? All right, everybody, and we're back. Episode 67, the train keeps a-rolling. The spooky train keeps a-rolling down the old, decrepit railroad track that might be haunted. You never know, because some people may have died on there, and then they haunt you and tickle your ass or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what ghosts do. I'm no ghost hunter. Although I wish I was. I think those guys got a sweet gig on that show, the Ghost Hunter show. It's really dumb. It's bad stuff, and I don't get it, but I don't get why it's such a hit. It's very like, it's, you know, they're in one room and then a light turns on in another room, like way down the hall, and they're like, it's a ghost. And it's like, it could have just been the cameraman, or like they hear like a noise. Like, it's, I want angles covering everything. If you're going to do a ghost show, I need to know that there isn't someone in another room making that noise or turning on that light or, you know, whatever. It's because the way they do it, they don't ever show like where the noise came from. Like they don't have a camera on the light switch as the light went on, showing that it was a ghost or something like that, and it wasn't fucking Jerry the cameraman. I don't know. It is what it is, though. They're famous, and I'm not, and I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that. Obviously, I'm cool with that. I'm over it. Anyway, I wanted to get into a couple more movies I saw, a few more movies I saw. Real, I saw The Purge, The Forever Purge. Never saw that one. I still haven't seen the first Purge, as in like the movie The First Purge. I've seen the original Purge movie. That's really confusing, isn't it? The original Purge movie with Ethan Hawke, I saw that. I saw Purge Anarchy. I saw Purge Election Year. And then they made The First Purge, the movie The First Purge. I didn't see that. But then I did just watch The Forever Purge because it was on HBO Max. And I was like, why not? Watched it. It was all right. Like, it wasn't bad. It had its moments, as the Purge movies do. There are moments that I'm like, this is getting weird. But then there are moments where I'm like, this is really cool. So it was kind of like that. Josh Lucas, I think, is the guy. Not John Lucas, Josh Lucas. I'm pretty sure that's his name. He's one of the main guys in it. Other than that, I don't really know anyone. The cop from the new Halloween trilogy, the recent Halloween trilogy, is in it as well. It doesn't last long, just saying. Spoiler alert. That movie came out a couple of years ago. You're fine. Speaking of movies that came out a while ago, though. This is the part that might shock you. You're gonna say, Joe, you're a horror fan. You consider yourself a diehard horror fan, and you haven't seen these two movies yet, or you hadn't seen these two movies yet? Because now I have. Now I have. Movie number one, I'll start with the less shocking of the two, is Reanimator. I had never seen Reanimator. I have heard plenty about Reanimator, but I had never seen it until just the other day. It's fantastic. It's a really, that's super campy as far as horror movie goes, if horror movies go. Now, it's from the 80s. It's only like an hour and a half long. An hour 26 is the runtime. But it's just, and it's almost a comedy with how outrageous it gets. Bringing the cat back to life, and just the Herbert West character itself is just really goofy because he's, you know, he's this doctor who's just set, dead set, no pun intended, on the reanimation of dead tissue. Not like tissue that you blow your nose, like human tissue. That'd be weird if someone was just like electrocuting a tissue, like, give me life. And I don't think that would work. But human tissue, that's a different story. So that's what he's focused on the whole movie. And then he, you know, gets a new roommate at the college and gets him on it. And it's just this crazy ride. And yeah, really some over the top gore. In the first scene itself, they're at some hospital type thing in Switzerland. And he, I guess, is experimenting on a doctor that had died. Doctor, no, I was gonna say Gerber. That doesn't make sense. I don't know. It's a German doctor, and he died, and I guess Herbert West was trying to reanimate him, you know, bring him back to life, hence the reanimator. And it didn't work. It worked for a second, but then his eyes bulged out and exploded, and then he died. So that's how it starts. So it starts off with a bang, and then yeah, it gets pretty crazy. It's definitely super campy 80s horror flick. The gore is almost comical. It's weird because like there's movies like Terrifier where the gore is way over the top, and Evil Dead the gore is really intense, but something about those 80s flicks just makes it, I take it a little less seriously, because whether it's the sound of the movie quality, like the quality of the sound from the movie itself, or I don't know, but especially Reanimator, because Reanimator is described as horror comedy. Some people just call it comedy. Which is crazy because it's not that funny. Like it's crazy. It's an insane movie. So I guess from that perspective, like, yeah, I guess it could be so outrageous and bizarre that it can't be taken seriously. But I loved it. I loved it. It's a nice, quick one. It's not 2.5 hours like Terrifier 2. It doesn't lose me like Terrifier 2 did. I'm not trying to rip on Terrifier 2. I really liked Terrifier 2, but it went on too long. That's all. I told you that. So Reanimator was the first one, and yeah, big fan. Next up, though, this is the one that might be like, you know, have some people pull out some knives on me and be like, "You are a horror fan and you hadn't seen this movie? The Shining. The Shining. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, based off the Stephen King novel. I had never seen it up until earlier this week. Never seen The Shining. One of the most iconic horror movies of all time. One of the most classic horror movies of all time. One of the best horror movies of all time. And I had never seen it. I don't know why. I never owned it on DVD. Maybe that's why. I never gave it the time of day. I don't know why I never had an interest in it. I love horror. It's probably my favorite genre. Horror comedy, I like when they mix that. Like Club Dread is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like I said, Freddy vs. Jason, because that's pretty comical. But never saw The Shining. But now I have, and I'm damn glad that I have, because it was fucking brilliant. It's a brilliant film. As far as like good horror movies go, it's up there with Silence of the Lambs and whatnot. Like it is just fantastic stuff. And I think the big part of the reason it's so fantastic is Jack Nicholson. I'm sitting there watching him, and I already know he's a good actor. I know he's a legendary actor. So I know he's gonna do well. But I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm thinking, if they replaced him with another actor, or if they tried to redo The Shining today, and like they had an actor do everything that he did in that movie, I don't think I'd be able to take it seriously. I really don't, because he has this crazy, insane behavior, and the voice, like the faces he's making and the conversations he's having with the ghosts, and it's like, I don't think a lot of actors could pull that off. And Jack Nicholson, people, let me tell you, Jack Nicholson pulls it off. He, to me, is the reason that movie is as amazing as it is. There are other parts to it. Like the kid does a great job. He's a child actor. How good can you be? But he does fine for the stuff that he had to act out in the movie. The wife, Wendy, starts off, I'm like, okay, she's fine. The more the movie goes on, it's a descent into madness, and her acting, it's almost polar opposite of Jack Nicholson. Almost polar opposite. It's not good. She has this weird run that she's doing for like the last 15 minutes of the movie. She's got a knife in her hand, and both of her hands are up, and she's kind of just like slowly running, while screaming for the majority of it. Crying, screaming, all that stuff. And I get it. Like, that's a lot. That's a heavy task to put on an actor. You have to show this constant emotion, basically. But it was a bit not cringy. I don't know the word. I don't know the word. It wasn't her finest hour either. I think if they remade The Shining today, they might be able to find someone that handles that role a little better. But again, everything about the movie's classic, so I'm not gonna rip on it. Like, she was fine. She didn't ruin it for me, because again, I fucking love this movie. It's in there right now with my classics. It is in there right now with my classics already after one viewing, upon one viewing. Now, the ending of it was a little confusing. Because Jack Torrance is the name of the character, Jack Nicholson's character. He's chasing the little kid, Danny, through the maze, the outside maze, and like the snow's coming down. It's this really cool scene because Jack Nicholson has gone full blown nuts, full blown bonkers. But he's chasing him around this maze with his axe. Eventually, the kid gets out, finds Wendy, his mom, and they drive away. And Jack Nicholson gets stuck in the maze. He falls down, he passes out, he freezes to death. Now that was almost where the movie ended, but then they shoot back to the gold room, which was the party room, and they zoom in on this picture, and Jack Nicholson is in this picture that apparently was taken in 1991 at the 4th of July ball. 1921, I'm sorry. Did I say 91? 1921. So then you're like, wait a second, is Jack Nicholson like time traveling? What the fuck? Was it all real? Like, it makes you question stuff. And apparently Stephen King did not like what Stanley Kubrick did to the film. He came to Stephen King and was like, "Hey, I'm going to do this adaptation of your novel." Showed him all the respect, but then he was like, "And I might switch some things up just a little bit. or I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm assuming he said just a little bit because Stephen King did not expect things to be switched up as much as they were in the film, you know, from the novel. But it was a weird ending. And then people say that the hotel consumed Jack Nicholson's character. It said like it consumed him after he died, so he just like appeared in the picture now. People are saying that Jack Torrance was a reincarnation of the guy in the picture, which would kind of make sense because there's a part when Jack Nicholson is talking to a ghost, and the ghost says, like, you've always been the caretaker. And the old caretaker murdered his wife and kid, so that kind of connects. So I don't know the explanation. Stanley Kubrick has never given a clear-cut explanation of why Jack Nicholson, Jack Torrance, whatever. We're just going to go with Jack because both the character and the actor are named Jack, so we're going to go with Jack. Kubrick never gave a clear-cut explanation as to why Jack was in that picture at the very end, but it's whatever. I can get over that. I can get over Wendy's awful dramatic acting. No offense. Rest in peace. Or she might still be alive. I don't know, but she's great. Loved her. Loved her. Again, like, I think if, like, things were changed, like, if they had a different actress and maybe she did a little more realistic type of run towards the end, like, would that change my opinion on it? Would I like it more? Would I like it less? However it was done, though, I loved it. You know what I mean? Like, what I saw, although I had, you know, I'm nitpicking, I loved it. I really loved it. That's not a crazy take. People fucking love The Shining. It's a lot of people's favorite horror movie. The bathtub scene with the old lady, but she's not old at first. At first, she's like hot. She's got like the fake tits, and she comes out. She's got the long legs, and her and Jack Nicholson are making out. And Jack Nicholson looks in the mirror, and it's not a hot chick with big fake tits and long legs. It's actually this old, literally decaying lady, very creepy, toothless lady. She's got like, she's deteriorating. Like her body is just deteriorating and she's saggy and like, I don't know. She's water. She's fucked up from the water because I guess she was just soaking in the bathtub, her body. And it's really gross. It's a really gross scene. It's very creepy, but again, that's what it is. It's The Shining. It's supposed to be creepy. So kudos to them on making that such a disturbing, unsettling scene. Hard to watch. Hard to watch. Kind of like Freddy taking the knife into little Jason's head, but worse because it's a naked old lady. But I guess I'll be old one day. My body's nothing crazy right now. So older, I'm scared to see how this thing's going to look. Maybe I will look like the old lady from The Shining. I don't know. My words will come back to haunt me. Haunt me. The Shining, scary, like it all, it's all a circle. It's all horror, baby. It's all horror. So The Shining, finally saw it, and I'm glad I saw it. Reanimator, finally saw it. Glad I saw it. I'm really glad I saw The Shining. I'm glad I saw The Animator. The Reanimator, sorry. So yeah, those are the two movies that I thought you'd be surprised by that I hadn't seen. I'm sure there's some of you that probably have never seen those either, and you're like, what's the big deal? As a horror fan, people talk about those, like I hear people talk about those movies a lot. So I was disappointed in myself that I had never seen them. But now I have seen them. So we're all good. We're gonna keep on moving and maybe try to find some new classics that I haven't seen that are out there. I can think of a couple, but I'll let you know when I get to them. Anyway, all right. We're going to take one last break. One last break. Because when we come back, we're going to wrap this thing up mummy style. We're going to wrap it up mummy style. That'll be the end of the Halfway to Halloween special. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're feeling spooky. Hope you're feeling kind of scary. Not like too scary. Like you don't want to like, don't go out and like scare people. That's kind of weird. That's weird behavior. Don't do that. But, you know, hope I got you in a good Halloween mood and you throw on a horror movie and you think of me. Hopefully at a good scene too. Hopefully you don't watch The Shining and see the naked old lady and think of me. That's, I don't really want to be associated with that, but hey, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. All right, we'll be back. Mummy style when we get back. All right, everybody, we are wrapping episode 67 up like a big old fat fucking mummy. Wrapping it up. This thing is thick, so it's going to take a while, but I had fun with it. I had a lot of fun today talking about all the horror movies and all the spooky stuff, really getting in the holiday spirit. And by holiday spirit, I mean Halloween spirit. I feel like holiday spirit should be a term for Halloween more than Christmas. Everyone says it around Christmas. It's like, oh, where's your holiday spirit, you old Scrooge, you old Grinch? What the fuck? You sack of shit, get in the holiday spirit, you fucking asshole. And it's like, I get it. But holiday spirit, ghosts, spooky. I feel like it should be for Halloween more so than Christmas. But whatever. I don't write the rules on these things. And neither you probably don't care. Whatever. We're going to move on. I forgot to mention that I watched Reanimator, but I also watched Bride of Reanimator as well. Little sequel to that, which was equally fun. I think Reanimator was better, the first movie, but Bride of Reanimator was fun too. Again, more of that campy, over-the-top gore, and get Dr. Herbert West. Great character. Great character. Just truly insane. Comically insane. But yeah, another fun viewing. I just mentioned Reanimator before because it's one thing if you haven't seen Bride of Reanimator, but not to see Reanimator, that's a whole other level. It's like, it's one thing if you haven't seen Dr. Sleep, but if you haven't seen The Shining, it's like, whoa, that's a classic. So, you know, I thought I'd mention the first one. I have some other movies I have to see, some classics that I have to see that I shamefully have not viewed yet. I have The Fly. We can watch the original or the Jeff Goldblum one. I hear the Jeff Goldblum one is better. So I gotta watch that. Carrie. I've never seen Carrie. Gotta watch that. And then this is the big one. This is the one that also might shock some people. Poltergeist. The original Poltergeist I've never seen. Again, I don't know why I don't get to these movies, but I just don't. So got some more classics to watch. I'll watch them. I'll let you know what I think. Don't you worry. It's going to be fun. I'm sure they're great because that's why they're classics. Like, why wouldn't they be great if they're classics? That's what makes them a classic, right? Am I rambling? I'm rambling. Is it hot in here? I'm talking to myself. Maybe I'm the next Herbert West. Maybe I'm comically insane. There are some great movies coming out as well. I think they'll be great. I don't know. The big one, the trailer just dropped yesterday, Five Nights at Freddy's, based off the video game. I think it was a computer game. I'm not 100% sure. It came out a little after my computer playing days. So I missed that wave. But the movie looks pretty creepy. It's kind of, if you don't know what Five Nights at Freddy's is, the game is like you have to survive the night. You're a security guard at a Chuck E. Cheese type of place, and then the animatronics come to life and they try to kill you. Which, as a kid, honestly, the thought crossed my mind about that, and someone beat me to the punch of making that into a thing, and now it's a movie. The trailer looks good. Josh Hutcherson is in it. Matthew Lillard is in it, which is a big one that I like, because I love Matthew Lillard, and I especially love him in horror movies. Don't get me wrong, Scooby-Doo, SLC Punk, he's fine. The Descendants, even, where he's kind of, it's more serious. He's good in that. But Matthew Lillard in horror movies, it goes together like peanut butter and ladies. Yeah, that's right. Whatever. I'm not going back on it. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. You know what I mean? So that's coming out. There's The Boogeyman, which is another Stephen King novel. It's like based off that. So that should be pretty good. It looks kind of creepy. There's some things that have been done before and some things that haven't. So definitely going to give that a watch, especially if it's on streaming. I don't think I'm going to go see it in theaters, but if it's on streaming, yeah, I'm for it for sure. There's an Exorcist remake coming out. I don't know what's up with the Salem's Lot remake. That was supposed to come out in April, and I have not seen a fucking thing about that. So I'm hoping that is still in the works, because that's one that I would love to see the remake of. The original is very creepy. Some very haunting shots in the original. You got a movie called Gale coming out. It's called Gale, Stay Away from Oz. It's like a horror take on Wizard of Oz, which the original Wizard of Oz is actually kind of creepy in itself. Like the Lollipop Guild, they always creep me out. The little munchkin fuckers, they always creep me out as a kid. And the scene, the black and white scene in the beginning where the house starts spinning, that rhymed. Woohoo, rhyme alert. I'm a nerd. When the house starts, you know, it's up in the air with the tornado and the witch flies by the window. That scene creeped me out as a kid. And then Freddy Krueger, they did a take on it and Freddy's dead, the final nightmare where Freddy Krueger is like the witch flying by the window. So definitely some little tiny aspects of horror in the original, whether intentional or not intentional. And then there's the rumor, the myth that the one guy hung himself in the background of one of the shots and you could still see it. Don't know if it's real or not. A lot of people deny it. A lot of people swear by it. I don't know. It's not fun because it's a guy committing suicide. That's not fun. But it makes the movie a little more interesting, in my opinion. So, but this one is a straight up horror take. Like, this is supposed to be scary. And it looks all right. You know, I wasn't like shook when I watched the trailer, but it had its moments and I'm interested to see it because I think you can make that kind of stuff really creepy. So, and I like the trend of taking childhood classics and making them into horror movies. I do. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, haven't seen it yet, but that's one that I definitely want to see once it's available on streaming. I'm not sure when that will be. Haven't seen any dates, release dates, but once that's, I'm going to watch the fuck out of that movie because a Winnie the Pooh gore fest, like a Winnie the Pooh slasher flick, sign me up. And then this seems more, the Gale Stay Away From Oz seems more paranormal, but I could be wrong. The trailer didn't reveal too much, so I guess it was a really good trailer because it didn't reveal too much, but it was engaging and I definitely am intrigued for sure. So there's that. There's a lot of things to be excited about if you're a horror fan. There's a horror comedy coming out called Blacker. Well, not. It's a. Oh, I forgot the name of it. It's a horror comedy where this group of friends goes to a cabin in the woods. You know, tell me if you've heard that before. They find this like this game that they end up playing, and then it turns out that it's a crazy game that I don't know. I'm fucking this up. But all because I don't know the name. That flustered me. I am flustered. I am sorry. You're probably struggling to get through this because you're like, what is his problem? You just forgot the name of the movie. It's okay. To me, that's a big deal. So I apologize. But that looks fun. Yeah, there's a lot of things coming out that I honestly can't remember the names to all of them, but should be some good stuff. Should be some good stuff. The X Pearl series is getting a third one, a trilogy. I think it's called Maxine. Max with like three X's. So, yeah, good time to be a horror fan. I definitely think we're not in short supply of horror movies. We have plenty, and I'm happy about that. That makes me a happy boy. All horror movies and some beers makes Joe a happy boy. You know, that's a reference to The Shining, the all work and no play. Makes Jack dull boy. See, I knew I shouldn't have even said the line because now I fucked it up. So I don't know why I'm falling apart right now, but I am. So I'm going to end it before I, you know, fuck up anything else. Good job, Joe. You're doing the right thing. All right, hope you enjoyed the halfway to Halloween special. Hope you enjoyed the spooky little interludes that I had and the spooky intro and the soon-to-be spooky outro that you're going to hear. You could also play a drinking game anytime I say spooky. You take a shot during this episode. Guaranteed, if you hit this point, you're probably going to be fucked up. So you're welcome. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Next episode will be out soon. And then after that, I'm going to be in Indy this time next week. I will be in Indianapolis with the boys, raising some hell and praising Dale, having some fun. So we're going to do the Indy special, and the Indy special will be episode 69. How cool is that, dudes? How cool is that? Episode 69, Indy special part 2. Let's fucking go. But for now, it's halfway to Halloween, baby. So I'm going to end this on a diabolical laugh. And I hope it's better than the one in the intro. So here we go. Thank you. Fuck. We're going to try that again. What? Bring it back? All right. Here we go. Thank you for tuning in to the Halfway to Halloween special. Fuck it. That didn't work out.